Welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. In each episode, we feature the stories of birth warriors, women who have persevered to find their own truth in pregnancy and birth. As you hear these women share their stories of love, autonomy, connection, and power, it is our deepest wish that you will be inspired, empowered, and supported to find your own truth. We are honored these women have stepped forward to share their personal stories and to help us remember that we all have the power to choose what is right for us. The Birth Warrior Podcast is a presentation of the Indie Birth Association and is not intended to be medical advice.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. I'm your host, Jaden Graham. Today we have Allie on. Allie McLean is a wife and a mother of two with one on the way. She is also a registered nurse, doula, and host of the Empowered Birth Podcast. Her passion for physiological birth stems from experiencing a cascade of medical interventions while laboring in the hospital, which ultimately led to a traumatic C-section. She went on to have a beautiful and healing home birth in a state that is very unfriendly to home birth midwives. Allie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So just wherever you would like to start.
Awesome. So I was about 38 weeks pregnant when I went into labor with my first. I was actually at a Good Friday service at church, and I stood up after this and my water broke all over. So being a first-time mom, I really didn't have much education other than the hospital childbirth class that my husband and I took. So when I experienced the water breaking, I just figured, you know, this is it. I need to hurry up and go to the hospital. So I made sure to just confirm that it was my water, and it was definitely my water. I went over to my husband, interrupted a conversation. I'm like, we have got to go right now. So we went home. He gathered up all the things. I took a quick shower and we were off to the hospital. And in between that time, I maybe had one contraction. So on the way to the hospital, I had probably my second one, and this was within an hour after my water had broken. Mm-hmm. Once I got to the hospital, they did all the check-ins, and I'm a registered nurse, so in my head, my philosophy around birth was it was something that needed to be managed. Mm-hmm. It was something that I didn't really know anything about or have any authority over because I didn't know anything. Mm. And so I was very easy to just go with the flow, whatever they wanted to do. I didn't ask any questions. I just figured this is how birth goes. Mm-hmm. So I am going to listen and obey and have this baby. My only goal was to see how far I could get without an epidural and to have a vaginal delivery. And that was about it. So I get to the hospital. They do all of the consents and the check-in, and I was at 1 centimeter, and I was not having any consistent contractions at all. So they encouraged walking, and this was about 9:30 at night when I got there. So we walked for hours just around, and I was not progressing. Mm. So they offered me Pitocin and just said, hey, this is oxytocin. This is a natural hormone that helps your body go into labor and make these contractions more regular.
Little did I know
it was more should be called devil's spit than it should be called Pitocin, because as soon as they started that, they got very intense. And I just couldn't wrap my head around what was happening. So I tried a little bit of IV medication and that didn't really do anything. Got in the tub. I just handling contractions was so overwhelming to me, and I couldn't figure out, like, how do women do this? I feel like I'm dying. Like, it was scary and just overwhelming, and I felt like my body was just not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So my nurse checked me, and I was at a 4, and this was probably 12 hours after I had gotten to the hospital. So she offered, you know, you haven't slept all night, you're very tired. Let's just do an epidural so you can get some sleep. So I got some sleep. And 2 hours after they did the epidural, I woke up to 5 nurses in my room, turning me on my left side, putting oxygen on. And I looked over at the monitor, and it said the heart rate was at 22 beats per minute.
Oh my goodness.
So, after turning me and doing oxygen, my daughter's heart rate recovered. Mm-hmm. The doctor came in, and they had my husband get ready, like, for surgery. They weren't really telling me what was going on. I knew it wasn't good, obviously.
Right.
You know, I knew 22 beats per minute was terrible. Mm-hmm. And so I just couldn't wrap my head around, again, like, what was happening? Why was this happening? I was just sleeping. What is going on? And I looked at my nurse, and, you know, she's like, you know, Corey's getting ready. My husband's getting ready to go into the surgery room, go in the OR with you. And I'm like, start sobbing. I said, I do not want a C-section. I don't want a C-section. I don't want it. I don't know if they had shut off the Pitocin at that point. I do know they gave me a shot in my thigh to stop the contractions. My doctor came in and said, you know, sometimes this can happen. Her heart rate had gone back up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, if this happens in the next 5 minutes, we are going to take you back for a C-section. And I just start sobbing. That's not what I want. I don't want a C-section. She walked out of the room, and about 3 minutes later, it happened again. So I was rolled back to the ER. It was very traumatic for me. Mm-hmm. I felt totally out of control. I felt like nobody was listening to me. I was just strapped down and while crying, and just felt, you know, a lot of tugging. And my husband had no idea what to do. He felt very out of control as well, and just didn't know how to help this situation. Of course, he wanted a safe baby, and so did I. This was not how we imagined our first baby being born.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was born very quickly. They considered it an emergency C-section. Mm-hmm. She was taken away. She was fine. She was born at 5 pounds and 10 ounces, mm-hmm. and was about 20 inches long. So she was a little peanut, and her blood sugar was low. And her temperature was low. So they were helping her recover in a separate area. And I didn't get to hold her for a little over an hour. So the whole experience was not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
It was not, again, like I had imagined. And the recovery was just really rough. I felt very detached from her. Mm-hmm. I felt like my bonding was severely broken. I had this sense that I was having a boy, and she was a girl. She was all girl. And so just through the trauma, and since really processing it, I just realized that how much trauma can interrupt that bonding experience.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell her I loved her for 3 weeks. I didn't know if she was mine because I didn't see her come from me.
Mm-hmm.
So there was so many things that I had to work through postpartum wise. And then I go to my 2-week appointment with my provider, and she tells me that my pelvis is too small and I will never be able to have a baby vaginally.
No.
Yes. And so it was at that moment that there was something in my spirit that was like, that's not right.
Yeah. It's not right. It's not right.
Mm-mm.
No way.
And I think that was the moment that I first started listening to my intuition. That's when it started. And I started doing my own research and I learned that true CPD or CPD is really rare.
Mm-hmm.
And I found ICANN, International Caesarean Awareness Network.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot from them. And then I also found women who have gone before me, who have experienced very similar traumatic experiences and had gone on to have beautiful VBACs and even VBACs at home. So once I heard their stories, I kind of put everything together. And this was very quickly after I had her, I decided next time is going to be very different and I'm going to have a home birth.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the state that I live in, home birth is very looked down upon.
Is it completely you can't have a home birth at all? Okay.
Well, so many women think that it is illegal, but there is nowhere in the law that says, you know, women aren't allowed to give birth at home.
Right.
You kind of can't do that.
You're right, right.
But certified nurse midwives it is a felony for them to attend home births.
Totally.
There is no law against certified professional midwives and direct interim midwives, although many of them have gotten cease and desist for practicing medicine, even though, as we know, birth is the practice of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was a very difficult journey to find somebody who would attend me. And thankfully I found a small group of women in Nebraska who were home birthing. And I just felt like that sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
I felt accepted. I felt understood. And really they helped my journey to having a home birth. Now, I did keep it very quiet other than the people around me who I knew would support that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew with everything I had gone through with my delivery, I had to first protect my mind and my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't tell family. I didn't tell most of my friends what I was planning. But I did start planning very early on postpartum for my next birth.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got pregnant with my second daughter, I knew by that time who I was going to call, and we started prenatal care around 10, 12 weeks, and it was just a whole different experience. I felt loved. I felt accepted. Mm-hmm. I felt taken care of, and I felt heard. I felt respected for the decision maker that I was, and I spent an hour, sometimes more, with this midwife who took time to really build a relationship and also just to make sure that I was treated as a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was compared with my 5-minute appointment with my doctor at my last pregnancy. So the whole prenatal care was just so different and so healing.
Mm-hmm.
I really learned that, you know, we are emotional, physical, spiritual beings, and all of that needs to be addressed during your pregnancy to really have a good birth.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an amazing experience. And my daughter's birth was very long. I can't quite remember. It was somewhere in the 30 hour, just starting, well, okay, I guess I should go back. Halfway through my pregnancy with her, I did do an anatomy scan, and I learned that my placenta was very low. Mm-hmm. And it was so low, they considered it placenta previa at 18 weeks. So it was partially covering my cervix.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted me to get ultrasounds every 4 weeks to just monitor and make sure it was going up. I decided that I was going to get an ultrasound to see if it had moved around 32 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited until 32 weeks to have my placenta checked out again. and it had moved 11 millimeters away from my cervix. So it was very low lying. And in a hospital setting, they like for it to be 22 millimeters away. Mm-hmm. So if I would have been in a hospital setting, they would have done another cesarean. Mm. But knowing all of the information, I made the choice to go ahead and continue with my home birth. Mm-hmm. And if there was a reason for a transfer, then we would decide in a moment to go and go in. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it never got there.
Yeah.
but at 4 a.m, I started having a bloody show and, you know, a little bit of cramping here and there. And that lasted for about 12 hours until my midwife came for a appointment and she checked baby's position. Baby was posterior. Mm-hmm. So she did a diaphragmatic release. And that helped my contractions start and really start progressing. So when I started bleeding, that had brought a lot of kind of fear. And I didn't realize how much fear I was really bringing into the process. I'd done a lot during my pregnancy to do fear releasing and just meditations, affirmations, everything I could do to really release any fear that I had and just trust my body, trust my intuition. And when labor started, I realized that I still had some of that, but I had to keep telling myself, I am strong. My baby is strong. Mm-hmm. I can do this. So, mm-hmm. So after she did the diaphragmatic release and baby turned more interior, my contractions started again. Mm-hmm. And they just said, you know what, you're still in early labor, so go and try and rest and sleep. So I went to bed around 8:30, and throughout the next couple hours, they slowly started to wake up. And I remember coming down from my room about like 1 o'clock in the morning, and my midwives were just there. They were resting in my living room, and my contractions were starting to get more intense. I started to get nauseous in between. So while I was down there with them, we just talked about my last birth, and I realized that I had some things that I was holding on to from my last birth, and just talking about it and releasing that helped me get into active labor. So I really did see how important it was to release those emotions during that.
I was just gonna say, I just remember from reading your story, just it sounds like your midwife was such an amazing support. I remember this one quote that you wrote, just going back to the placenta previa situation, when you called her up and she just said, "Allie, I don't operate out of fear." And that's such a really a powerful, you know, that's a great midwife and a really great birth worker to just be like, you know, standing in that place of like, okay, because I you know, I feel like even in certain midwifery circles that could be pathologized or, you know, just like, especially in the hospital. And that, you know, that just kind of just speaks to her deep trust in just this really grand physiological process, and also just the trust in your body and in you. And that's, yeah. And that's really, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And I mean, she has been in practice for a very long time and has seen so many different types of birth and realized that there is a wide range of normal.
Yes.
So, really not making decisions out of fear, but out of education and intuition. And there's so much that goes in making those decisions, but that was a very powerful moment. And from there, and from that quote, my whole life has taken a different course just from
that
one. And that's kind of my go-to now when making decisions is I'm asking myself, am I making this decision out of fear Or am I making a decision out of fact and other, you know, other resources and information? So that was, yeah, so very powerful. So after having my conversation with them, I got into the pool around 1 a.m. and the contractions were getting stronger and I was having signs of transition and I felt like this is it. Everybody showed up, my photographer, my best friend, my sister, and I just loved having that community of women around me. There was something so powerful about feeding off of their energy. They were quiet, they whispered, they didn't interfere, they were just there. And there was something that I just kind of drew strength from that. You know, I started getting contractions about every 3 minutes, but I just, there was something that my midwife felt like was going on. I was having transition signs that I was going in and out of. So she asked if she could do a cervical check. And I did consent on one condition, that she did not tell me how dilated I was. Because again, I knew that I had to protect my mind.
I could see that being, I mean, I never had that done to me, but I can definitely see how that can really just kind of take you out of this really primal state and just put you into this whole like mental, like, wait, I'm this, or I'm only that, or
Right. And in the understanding in the VBAC community is a lot of times women progress all the way up to where they had gotten to that last time. And so when she did check, funny enough, I was kind of stalling at that point. And so she checked, I was at a 5 centimeters. And that is where I got to last time before my C-section. So there was something about that, that my body just, and I don't know why. She was very hands-off and she was still super hands-off after that. She just let me do my thing and continue on, but she did tell everybody to go to sleep because there was going to be a little bit longer. So, yeah, it was just a wonderful time of laboring in the tub. And after she did check, she said, you know what, why don't you just get out and try and sleep? Try and rest and relax in bed. So I did. And I remember kind of laying in a fetal position and falling asleep and then waking up with a contraction, working through it and falling right back asleep. And one time I looked up and the midwife assistant was there and just massaging my thighs. And it was such a sweet moment. I just felt so safe and secure and just well taken care of during that whole process. So there was not one moment I was scared that anything was going wrong. I just got into my labor land and I let my body do my thing. And everybody was just so respectful and quiet and trusted me and trusted my ability, along with my husband, who originally had been very terrified of home birth. So once we were there, it was just all, it was so beautiful. So, eventually, right, I woke up around 9 o'clock, went on a walk around my neighborhood, just around my block, actually. I couldn't make it very far because I went into transition, on my walk. So, I kind of hobbled up to back into my room, got in the tub again and started intuitively pushing. I pushed for about a little over 2 hours. And I remember finding later a handwritten note from one of my midwives that said, she's been pushing for 2 hours. This is normal. And she had written that down to show people in the room. So she wasn't saying it, taking me outside of my labor book, kind of reassuring everybody else in the room, like, this is great. She's doing amazing. Let her just do it. So I pushed a baby out of my vagina that was over a pound bigger, my first baby. So when she was born, it was just an amazing thing. I had been pushing, and I was able to just feel her head, and my husband got to catch her, and I pulled her up onto my chest. And it was at that moment all of the endorphins just flooded, and I felt such love and connection. And I had dreamt that it was a girl, and she was a girl, and I dreamt her name. So her name is Isla. And it was just, it was a very healing and redemptive moment that I would love to live over and over again, but I do have it so close to my heart. It was very healing. And it was also one thing during the pushing phase that was very sweet as well is my daughter, who was around, I think she was about 27 months at the time, she had come in and out of the labor room and was helping me and, you know, wanted to get in the tub with me. And while I was pushing, she, she was making pushing sounds with me to help me.
That's so sweet.
It was so sweet.
That's super precious.
It was so beautiful to have her there. I felt like it was healing for our relationship. And for that bond as well, just to have her there while I had oxytocin flowing through me at such high amounts. So after she was born, you know, I hadn't eaten. I was so nauseous through my whole labor. I did bleed a little bit more than normal in quotation marks. Yes. So I did get a little faint, and they had to give me some herbs, and I took, you know, some chlorophyll and all of the tinctures. And so it was a little bit interesting. There was a moment where I looked up at my midwife and I'm like, are you going to take me to the hospital? Like, I really didn't want to transfer, but I did feel very, a little bit faint afterwards. You know, I was just so well taken care of, and it was not, again, she just doesn't operate in fear, and she's just like, this happens, and we're going to give you what we have and get you snuggled up into bed and you can breastfeed. And it was just beautiful. So, is, I just loved sharing that story. It brings it all back to me. And I am very excited to do it again eventually.
What was third stage like? What with your placenta?
Yeah, so I was reading her notes today on my placenta, and she said that there was a little gush of blood when the placenta came out. So that's when they started giving the tinctures. The placenta was very large, she said. And also when they did look at the placenta, a little piece of the membrane had, or the placenta had kind of pulled away from where my cervix was. So that could explain some of the bleeding throughout the whole labor, which honestly, well managed. Baby's heart rate was great the whole time, and it was nothing they ever were too concerned about. So they just monitored and watched, and they did take me after the placenta was born. They took me out of the pool and laid me in bed so I could recover. They gave me the tinctures, and that's when I started to get a little faint. So they started a warm bath with herbs that was so beautiful and wonderful. I actually fainted in the bathtub, and I remember waking up and looking up at my midwife. She's like, Hallie, are you okay? And I was just like, yeah, I'm great. Like, it was the best nap ever. But so third stage was easy. The placenta came out perfect, but it was a little interesting, just a fainting moment, but they had it taken care of, and I was fine. I lost about three cups, so a little bit more, but it was fine. So
Well, thank you so much. Are there any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah. So I think, again, just going back to the don't operate in fear. Mm-hmm. I think so many of our decisions have been dictated in fear. Mm-hmm. And this fear a lot of times comes from either stories that we have heard from other women who have been traumatized by something. Mm-hmm. And this fear is not a lot of times even based in fact. So I really encourage any woman that I talk to really assess, where is that fear coming from? Mm-hmm. Based in truth? And if not, then you can know what your next step will be. It's just so powerful to really learn how to take control of your thoughts and your emotions, but then also tap into that intuition. Because with my first, again, I didn't know what an intuition was. Felt like I always followed my gut, but there's just a beautiful way to combine all of that together, and know your facts and then also follow your intuition. It can go along with each other, especially during birth. Mm-hmm. So women are strong, babies are strong, and they're capable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Storytelling is a profound agent of change, one that has the ability to plant seeds of inspiration, introspection, and beyond. If you have an empowering birth story that you would like to share on our podcast, please head over to indiebirth.org/birthwarrior to send your submissions. That's indiebirth.org/birthwarrior. Hope you have a beautiful week wherever you are in the world. Until next time, friends.